right. I guess I can actually say this, and I hope you don't think I'm a dork for this, but good day. You're listening or watching the Viral Volley podcast, and I've got international volleyball star from Australia, Bikara Palmer, who I met a few years ago and I've seen a couple times since her, that first meeting. And we just wanted to talk about stuff in the world going on and the Olympics and things that she's pursuing, some ventures she's got going on in the Sydney area. So Bikara, good day to you, and thanks for coming on board here.
G'day, how are you? That's a great intro. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to having a chat.
Oh, it's going to be a fun time, especially with all the stuff happening in the world. And, you know, hopefully we can get some lighthearted humor in there, being the times are pretty serious. But, you know, we definitely want to go in and just be able to entertain some and take their minds off some of the stuff going on today.
Great. Sounds awesome.
Hey, so first of all, you know, going through your information, even when you first came out and we're playing in the P1440 events, the Top Gun event in the end of 2018, I did some research on you, being that I was on the microphone there hosting the event. But I saw you were on the FIVB tour for 7 years, and you qualified for the 2012 Olympics and decided to take a break from beach volleyball. I believe that's 2015 to 2016. What led to that break in play for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. The break from 2015 to 2016 was actually my second break. So I had a little break directly after the London Games. So in 2012, beginning in 2013. That first one was just, I was just really burnt out. The Olympic qualifying process and the Olympic Games just honestly sort of took its toll, I think, mentally and emotionally, but also physically. My shoulder was kind of wrecked, so I had to have surgery on that, and I just needed a little bit of space. So I took that space originally, then found myself sort of back in the fold and back in the sport. And then I guess a few years later, and the way that things kind of worked out, I felt like I had so much to offer. Like, I still felt like I had game. I still felt like I was good. And the opportunities, I guess, that I wanted and were hoping for just weren't presenting. And I think the frustration of not being able to do what I felt like I could and like I wanted to was kind of, yeah, I guess it just kind of got to a point where I wasn't willing to sacrifice my happiness and my life for right. something that didn't feel like it was really satisfying, you know, what I wanted. So I decided to step away, and made a really strong choice. It was a different decision to the first one, because it was far more active and far more of a conscious choice and sort of putting myself first, I guess. Mm-hmm. Which, as lovely as it sounds, is incredibly difficult to do when, you know, you've been part of a national team and a national institution for so long. But I did that, and it was a really good decision. The following day, I actually got picked up by a football team, an AFLW football team here in Australia, and joined an entirely different sport, entirely different team, and found that was like the perfect thing to kind of relight the fire inside of me and learn something new and kind of interact with sport in a different way. So that was really awesome. And then after that, I just kind of stepped out. I was working full time. I'd moved to Sydney because my partner is here, and we've been doing long distance for about 18 months, and kind of figured that was more than long enough. so moved to Sydney, was working, and then it wasn't long, well, it was maybe about 18 months or so after that, that I bumped into Nikki Laird at a hen's party of a mutual friend of ours, and she mm-hmm. hit me up to get back on world tour and play, and I was like, sure, what the hell, why not?
So let me go back a little bit there. You'd mentioned that you had a stint in professional Australian rules football, is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, I'd imagine you being close to 6 feet tall, or I don't know what that is in centimeters, but you had to be one of the larger players on the field, which means the people with a lower center of gravity could knock you over pretty good.
You're telling me. I got a few times, actually, that was quite a shock to the system. I played a little bit of football in high school, so like when I was maybe 16 or so. So it's been a long time, and football runs in my family. My uncle played a lot of state football, and the whole family are pretty footy mad.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I went out. I was definitely one of the tallest, And definitely probably one of the most unfit, coming from an 8x8 court to a court that, oh, sorry, a field that's, you know, 200 meters, 300 meters long.
Right.
But yeah, a couple of the hits kind of off the ball that I wasn't expecting definitely shook me to my core. And it was great. It was a really good experience and I learned a lot. But I think you can see if you have Googled or YouTubed AFLW and you just watch some of the girls who have been playing forever and ever, and it's clearly, you know, football's in their blood, and the way that they go in at the ball and attack the ball and tackle one another, and it became pretty evident pretty quickly that was not necessarily going to be the way that I played. And my motivation doing, you know, speed and agility and all that sort of stuff was to get the hell away from everyone when they were coming towards me. But that was great. I met a lot of really awesome girls, and like I said, was sort of able to flex my athlete muscle in a different way, which was really, really refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, what eventually brought you out of, well, yeah, you said you had two breaks. I was only aware of one break, but what brought you back into beach volleyball then?
Yeah, so after the second break, I was obviously working full time, and you know, the novelty of getting a salary every couple of weeks and getting paid and you know, sick days and all of these things, where I'm like, my God, where has this been all my life? Like, this is incredible. I went to a hen's party. So a mutual friend of Nikki and I's was getting married, and we went to this hen's party. It was right near actually the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and it was a really beautiful, beautiful setting. And we're standing there, and Nikki was just talking about some of the challenges that she had with injury and with playing partners, and in a way was kind of in the same position that I was a couple of years earlier, where she was saying, like, I've got so much to give, I've got so much left, mm-hmm. but the opportunities aren't really, you know, arising for me. And then it was almost like this light bulb moment where she kind of looked at me and she was like, you should come play with me. And to be honest, my first reaction was to laugh. I was like, that's a funny idea. Like, listen to this chick, what's she talking about?
Yeah.
And then it kind of sat. And then the next morning I woke up and I was like, huh, actually, that sounds like something I really want to do. So we chatted for a little bit. And then it was actually the week after, or maybe 2 weeks after, that I went and played the Top Gun event over in your Sunshine City.
Yeah.
So I went over and played that. And I think that was a really important event for me, I think, just personally, because I'd done one training session. I'm sorry to everyone. I'd done maybe one training session in the year prior. You know, I hadn't been lifting, I hadn't been doing anything. I'd been literally sitting in an office full time.
Yeah.
And the thing that I guess it instilled in me was that my body knew what to do, my brain knew how to play the sport. And when I kind of took the pressure off myself and just allowed myself to play and be free,
I played
pretty well. And I think that was really important to take a second, you know, only behind Rebecca from Brazil, is kind of blows my mind even now. But it's that was a really important tournament, and kind of has I guess helped guide the way that I wanted to be moving forward. So I've really tried hard to prioritize that freedom and playing because I love it. And sort of take the pressure off in terms of results and, you know, outcomes and those sorts of things, which ultimately are harder to control. So and then from there we came back. Nikki and I played a tournament in like rural country Australia in Cobram, mm-hmm. which was great. We played an event in Cambodia, and then the Sydney three-star event was on that we ended up winning. And again, it was like zero expectation. We started in the qualifier and we just were playing because we loved it. And we were playing in front of our family and friends. It was on both of our home beach, and it's like the perfect storm of all of the things that make it really easy to perform really well and love it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to go step back a little bit, because obviously working at
1440.
Oh, no worries. I think it's great. I wanted to let you ride. But because you're being very humble in talking about what you've done. I worked at P1440 Huntington Beach Top Guns event. Here in Huntington Beach, which is not too far away from me. And what was amazing was the format of it was, round robin pool play to qualify for the playoffs. and there were two bigs or two blockers and two defenders in each pool. So you're going to play with someone at least, you know, once. And then, of course, the two undefeated players with the best records were two defenders. It was Rebecca of Brazil in the other pool and you in your pool. So, and hence you guys made it through the playoffs and played each other in the finals, which was awesome, by the way. I mean,
yeah,
that was your first big competition back. It looked like you hadn't missed a step because Rebecca was at the top of her game at that time too. And you were hanging with the tops in the world right there.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And I think that if you'd been a fly on the wall inside of my brain for that entire weekend, it probably would have sounded very different to what was happening. I think in a couple of the rounds, I think I literally snuck through by like a point. And I'd kind of prepared myself. I was like, this is great. I've come over, I've played a couple of games. I've been able to play with, you know, the likes of Kelly Clays, who is now a really great friend of mine, and get on court with Kerry Walsh and those sorts of things, which you just never, you know, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So I think every step of the way I was beyond satisfied and stoked. And then it just kind of kept going and going and going, which was pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, it's like coming to the U.S. and playing with the players that you have is definitely one of the follow-up questions. Like, which player or players did you enjoy playing with the most?
Oh, great question. I think my favorite was playing with Kerry. I was actually staying with her as well, so we were living together for that week. Mm-hmm. And I think just the way that she is, the energy that she brings to court. I'd been so used to being on the receiving end of it on the other side and I guess copping the brunt of all that is Kerry Walsh when she gets on court. So it was actually really nice to be on the same side and almost feel that kind of like arms around. It's like, all right, you're on my team, let's go yeah. and do this. And I found that really inspiring. Actually, I thought that was awesome. And the other one, actually playing with Rebecca was really interesting because I speak zero Portuguese and she spoke zero English. I think she still does and I still don't speak any Portuguese. So I remember we sat in the timeout and we'd sort of warmed up and did what we had to do. And then she got out her phone and had Google Translate on her phone and just said, I don't speak English. Let's just play. I was like, done. Let's just play. And I think just that freedom, I think we're both quite similar in, the way that we play. It's you feel the ball, you move. It was all very, it felt like a bit of a dance. So that was pretty fun just to have someone else on court that functioned in a similar way. Yeah. And obviously she's an incredible volleyballer. So it made it really fun to set the ball and watch her go up and put the ball away every time.
Beating the other teams is pretty entertaining to watch.
Yeah, there was a lot of pulling. There was a lot of pulling and peeling off the net and making some digs.
Then you had played in November of this last year in Manhattan Beach for the P1440 FIVB Pro Challenge.
Yes.
Your experience there, because I mean, there were some really good teams that I was really shocked that showed up on such last notice.
Yeah, well, it turns out obviously there was a bunch of us there. It was before Mexico, so we had a training camp there, and there was obviously a bunch of other teams that did the same thing. That was a really interesting week for Nikki and I because it was the end of a super long season. So like I said, we'd started in Cambodia in Feb, I think it was, maybe early Feb. And we'd made it all the way there. Mexico was going to be our last event.
Right.
And yeah, that was actually a really tough week for Nikki and I. I think we'd, not to say that we'd gotten sick of one another, but things were starting to get a little bit tense.
I love how you pause and sugarcoat things.
Yeah, I feel like she would agree. She would probably say it more directly than what I did. But I think one of the challenges that we'd had all season was that we didn't have a coach, like we didn't have a third person. And Nikki and I are very, can be very direct and strong about the way we want to go about things, and I think having or not having a third person to kind of help us manage that space was a bit of a challenge. And I think we both had to take on a lot more responsibility and a lot more of the processing of how the team works and what we were going to do than perhaps what we've done before, which was great, good to learn, but something we both agreed that we didn't want to have to do long term because it was exhausting.
Yeah.
So that week for us was, it was a training week, but it was also, I guess, a bit of a turning point. And it was actually that tournament, we didn't really play our best or really all that well, as far as what we thought. But what it did is that it created a conversation after that tournament about how we were going to be, how we were going to go into Mexico, what we were going to do.
Yeah.
And I think because we felt like we didn't play that well, it kind of peeled back all the layers and was like, all right, what are we doing? We've got one tournament left. Let's go and make the most of it. What do we need to do?
Yeah.
So in that regard, that tournament was priceless for us. And it was exactly what we needed. We went on to take a top 10 in Mexico, which was one of our best. We really top and tailed the season with a win in Sydney and then the top 10 in a 4-star. So that was really, really important, a really big kind of turning point for us.
Wow. Well, let's go to, you just had a really good result the beginning of the month, right? The 3-star in Sydney, you and Nikki got a gold, and I was going through some of the Australian press and said, oh, well, it was on Marriott and Taliqua's home beach. I'm like, oh, do you guys play on the same beach there?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting because I grew up in South Australia. So my home beach, I guess, is Glenelg, where there was a World Tour event back in 2008? Anyway, mm-hmm. a while ago. And Nikki and Maria Faye both grew up in Sydney, and that is their home beach. That's where they learnt to play beach volleyball. So it's interesting that, you know, it's always the media, right? But no, that was very much Nikki's home beach. I live here now. It's, you know, Manly Beach is 3 minutes drive away from where I am right now.
Yeah.
So it's everyone's home beach, but it doesn't always get reported as everyone's home beach.
Right. Well, so obviously that partnership with Nikki is working out. You guys have some really good results. Now the Olympics coming up. We obviously had some pretty major news within the last 10 days of the postponement of the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, which are now going to be the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. But you also had some Australian tournaments that have also been, I imagine they've been canceled or postponed as well. Now the coronavirus epidemic has been just a global crisis. And I guess what kinds of thoughts have gone through your mind in regards to the volleyball competition in Australia, and then of course for the Olympics?
Yeah, so we had our like Australian Tour finals up in Coolangatta, up in Queensland, a couple of weeks ago. So that was going to sort of be the precursor event to the Sydney 3-star, the Coolangatta 3-star. And actually on the finals day, on the Sunday, we were getting ready for the final, and we learnt that the 3-star was going to be cancelled, which was quite a, I guess, a jarring thing to hear as you're about to go out and play the final of another tournament. So yeah, that was disappointing. I think the overwhelming feeling at that time was disappointment. Like, we had family that were traveling up, we had some family that were already there, you know, and knowing how much fun we had despite the win in Sydney, being able to play in front of family and friends on our own soil or sand, was my biggest disappointment, is that we didn't get to do that again. And the setup looked great and all that sort of stuff, but I think after that, played that game and then kind of got home pretty soon after, and I think the disappointment sort of turned to more, I guess, perspective. Like, I think missing a couple of tournaments is really sad. Obviously, we're professional beach volleyball players. That's what we want to do. We want to compete. But I think you only need to turn the TV on or jump on Facebook and see what's happening in the world right now. And it doesn't, I feel like my disappointment and sadness for missing a couple of tournaments is it doesn't matter, for want of a better word. Like, there's so much more going on, and there's much bigger things at stake that I think my mind turned pretty quickly to how my family, what can I do to make sure that my family stays safe? How can I, you know, all of those sorts of things, which feel a little bit more like survival, versus, you know, I guess what is my profession and what I love to do. So I think that perspective happened pretty quickly. And since then, obviously, there's been a lot more tournaments that have been cancelled. Obviously, the Olympic Games have been postponed. And I think I take a similar kind of perspective, is like, okay, like, it's the right thing to do, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And secondly, like, there's time to play as much beach volleyball as we want once we've yeah. managed this situation and done all the things that we need to do, like, now.
Well, that brings me to my next question. And regarding the Olympics, but according to the media releases and the social media, Canada and Australia's Olympic committees took the bold stand to be the first countries to say that they're not sending their Olympic teams to Tokyo. I guess, how did you get that announcement and what was your reaction?
Yeah, we got an email from the AOC with that information. Mm-hmm. Which was great. I appreciated the heads up on that before I read it on Facebook or saw it on the news or anything like that. And I think for me, I think my initial feeling was like, good on you. Like, good on you mm-hmm. for being, I think Australia is such a strong presence at an Olympic Games. Obviously, the success that we've had as a country over the years has been huge.
Yeah.
And I think for them to take that bold step because it's the right thing to do, not because it's good necessarily for, you know, anything else really other than society. And I think there's a really strong statement, I guess, that is made when a country like Australia and then also Canada decide to do the right thing, and I guess be the first mover on that, how everything kind of follows suit. So I'm really proud that they did that. It obviously wasn't an easy decision to make, but I think it was the right decision, and the way that things have panned out, I think is, you know, the best case scenario considering where we're all at.
Well, they both, the Canadian and Australian Olympic committees basically set the groundwork, and American player Betsy Flint really took to social media and said, why aren't we doing this also? I mean, we should be really concerned about what's going on. So, you know, good on Australia and Canada for really being bold and taking that step and saying, nope, we're not going to go. So,
yeah, I think there was also, and I don't know who was in the entire group, but I know Kerry was definitely part of it in terms of the Coolangatta event. And there was a bunch of USA players who got together and I guess made that call to not travel out to Australia because it was the right thing to do and the safest thing to do. And I think it's kind of a similar thing. I think when you make a strong decision and do something that is the right thing to do, how things kind of follow suit. So I think there's a lot of people right now that are being very brave and living by what is true for them, and I think that that's a real silver lining, I guess, of this situation, that these people are popping up and showing their true colors in the best possible way.
You know, talking more specifically about the Australian national team, we are talking a little bit, and your fellow country women Taliqua and Maria have already got one of the qualification spots, but what's it like for this second spot now? Is it a tight race? Because here in the U.S., you know, you've got April and Alex, and then you got Carrie and Brooke.
Everyone but else
far behind them is like three other teams that are just right on their heels.
Yeah, to be honest, I watched the American qualifying process panning out, and I'm very happy that Australia is not in a similar situation. I think it looks stressful as anything. Also, it's, you know, it's kind of how it has rolled, I think, almost every year for the American teams. Is it's super tough. But for us, Nikki and I are sitting currently in the second position. The other team that is within the national program has had some injuries, and there's kind of three, maybe four players that are kind of at the moment kind of all playing with one another just to try and find a combo that is fully fit and good. So Nikki and I think we have the luxury of sitting there. We're both fully fit, touch wood, and have been playing well and have gotten some good results. So from a ranking perspective, we are sitting in that second spot. The qualifying happens through the Continental Cup. For that second one, we had the intentions of having a bit of a crack at the top 16 this year. Mm-hmm. And then all the tournaments got cancelled, so that went out the window pretty quickly, unfortunately. So the Continental Cup, that was meant to be happening in Wuhan, China, in June.
Wow.
that one got nixed pretty early on, thankfully. So I, to be honest, I don't know how this looks. I don't think anyone does. I don't think any decisions have been made around when that tournament will be, whether or not the Olympic qualification process or number of events needs to change. I know there's been some whispers that that may be the case, but I feel like at the moment things are happening daily, like things change daily. So it's almost impossible to make any kind of a plan until we find some sort of, you know, back down and consistency. So how are we going to qualify for Tokyo 21? I'm not sure. I don't think anyone knows yet. So I wish I could give you a better answer, but I don't know.
Just have a tournament down by one of the local pubs. You could have a lot of people showing up.
Exactly. Let's just rock, paper, scissors for it from 2 meters away from one another. We'll socially distance while we do rock, paper, scissors. Seems fair.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to my next question. Now that now we're, I guess, semi-lockdown, containment, sheltering in, what are you doing to stay in playing shape and keep a mindset? And I if I remember correctly, so that Nikki is actually in a different state right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually live in different states. So Nikki lives in Adelaide. I live in Sydney. Our coach lives in Canberra, which geographically, if you were to look at a map of Australia, South Australia is middle south. Mm-hmm. Sydney is about an hour and a half, 2 hours flight to the east. And Canberra is about a 3 hour drive from Sydney. So we're so far from one another in terms of geographically. Nikki's also in self-isolation because she was interstate. So she went back to Adelaide and they basically said she had to lock down for 14 days. So she hasn't left the house in 14 days, which I'm no doubt is driving her absolutely crazy. So we're all separate. And I think initially we just took some time. And all of us just kind of took a bit of a breath and took the week off. Mm-hmm. And then as we sort of came out and were able to get our heads around and process everything that's happening, I've been doing just a lot of movement. I guess I'm not necessarily too stressed about getting back on the sand. If anything, at that Top Guns event, I proved to myself that I don't need to be on the sand a lot to be able to go and play okay.
Which people would love to have that ability.
doing a lot of, yeah, I feel lucky. I don't want to take advantage of it, but I feel lucky that that's the case.
Yeah.
But a lot of yoga, a lot of movement, a lot of keeping my body healthy. I have a little gym here at home and also at a warehouse that we have. So I'm able to still do what I need to do, which is great. But I think the main thing for me is the mental, emotional side. I think the physicality and the physical side will come and they'll be there. It's making sure that I'm keeping my head in the right place and staying happy and healthy. And then good volleyball always comes from that place.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break right there. A lot of serious and heavy topics discussed there, but,
sorry.
Yeah, speak with Bikara Palmer of Australian national team. Hey, good day once again, everyone. Rob Espo for Viral Volley Podcast. I'm here with Bikara Palmer, who's in Australia, in Sydney, Australia, to be exact. And we've been chatting a little bit about coronavirus, the Olympics changing to a year later, and just how she's come about to become Bikara Palmer, the volleyball sensation in the South Pacific. Well, we'll go world. We'll go world. He's pursuing a new venture, Beach Volley Online. I've actually taken the liberty of signing up for a class because, you know, I love to see what people are doing around the world in growing our game and as far and their knowledge set. So I love the fact that it's being shared and that people can really enjoy the little intricacies of the game. And for the volley dorks, the strategy.
Yeah. So tell us about the volley geeks.
Yeah. So Bikara, tell us about Beach Volley Online.
Yeah, so I came up with, I've kind of had this sitting in the back of my head for a little while, and I really just wanted to create a course that helped, whether it's beginners, intermediates, juniors, whoever it is, I guess just understand the intricacies of the sport a little bit more. I think so often we watch the games, and I do it too, where you just watch the scoop digs and, you know, the blocks that get made and the kills that get hit. And it's great and it's impressive and it's enjoyable to watch. But I guess I wanted to be able to give a little bit of extra insight so that when people are watching, they see almost like the two steps before to what then happens. And I kind of able to enjoy the game from a different level, I guess. So, you know, it's the tiny little bit of footwork on the block before making it, or the shuffle step in defense that shows something and then takes it away, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that to me is what I love about watching the game and watching the best people in the world. So I guess I wanted to create some content and a course that made that accessible to as many people as possible, and potentially kind of open their eyes to, you know, the little tiny things that are happening on court that might otherwise go unnoticed.
Now, Enid, I'd imagine you're going to be discussing a few different topics. You want to give us a little preview as some of the things you'll be covering, you know, like jump float, spin serve, or...
Yeah, serving is definitely a module. So we have the basics, I guess, with serving, offense and defense, and really trying to pull out some good like nuggets of information in those three. We're also then talking a little bit about decision making. So I think that's a really important part of the game, and the people that are great are very good at decision making and doing it quickly. Mm-hmm. And then also a bit about game strategy, and I guess how to make a strategy that, you know, suits yourself with your strengths and weaknesses, but then also the ability to look at a team and understand how you're going to impact on them as well. So those things are all, while there are the modules, these are, they're kind of all laced in together, and hopefully by the end you have a clearer picture of how maybe your serving affects your defense, or your passing affects your offense. And and we're going to use a lot of video to, I guess, explain what's happening so that we can see it and slow some things down and see it in real time, because I guess that's one of the challenges I found with the online course, is that I can't just get out on the sand and go, okay, here's what we're doing. This is, you know, explaining it in real life. It's obviously online, and it's been a great creative challenge for me to be able to make that work.
Well, I can do a lot of the video that what not to do. So if you need someone to volunteer what not to do, I can throw down some video for you.
I'll give you a call. I've got your number, so I'll give you a call.
You know, you have a wonderful personality and you have a high knowledge of the game. Is it going to be interactive in any way? So that can ask you questions or...
Yeah, so originally I had the idea that I was going to do it was going to be a 4-week course, and we were going to run it, you know, each week with an interactive classroom session. Mm-hmm. It was actually some feedback that I got from you and from a couple of other people in Manly that made me sort of rethink that a little bit. You know, people are really busy. There's a lot going on. And I think setting a time to lock in each week was going to be really tricky. Mm-hmm. So I decided to pivot a little bit, and the content will all be uploaded and you can go at your own pace, basically. So you don't need to wait for me. You can do it however you like.
Because I'm 18 hours behind you.
Yeah, exactly. We had a bit of a hard time with the time difference. So we're just alleviating all of those problems.
Yeah.
But as part of the course, there is an element where we jump on the phone. So we do something like this. So if someone's a player and they have some training footage or game footage or something like that, we can sit down and watch it together, and I can give some feedback and I guess be another set of eyes for them. Yeah. But ultimately I'm running the course. It's going to be me, and I'm more than happy to engage with the people that are doing it to make sure that they're getting the most out of it. And if they want to pick my brain or if they need more information, then I am the most open book.
That's awesome. It sounds like great stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing the content you put online and, you know, see what's inside the head of the Carl Palmer. Hopefully they don't figure out your game strategy and match, because that could turn out bad for you.
I have had to nix a few things. I've written them down and I'm like, oh, I can't say that. I'll have to come back and do that. Once I retire, I'll come back and I'll give the full story.
Yeah. Please do an outtake reel, because Aussies have the best sense of humor. I would pay to see that outtake reel.
All right, maybe I'll put that up as another thing in the shop. Charge $9.95 for it, for the outtake reel.
All right.
No, so, there are definitely outtakes, don't worry.
Well, so give us the information on Beach Volley Online, the website, and you know, all the other general information that someone who's interested might want to pursue.
Yeah, so all of the course information, there's FAQs, there's a registration link, is all on the website, which is www.beachvolley.online. I got one of the fancy URLs, which I thought was a really great idea, and I was like, actually it might be really confusing for people. So it's beachvolley.online is the actual URL. And all the information is there. Again, if you want to ask me some questions, jump on my Instagram is probably the best place, which is just @Bakara. And I'm more than happy to answer questions. And all of the finalized content should be online this week. So you'll get an email and I'll let you know when it's all ready to go so you can jump on. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to get it into people's hands and get some feedback and see how it lands for people.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's take another break right there, and then we'll finish up with something that Bakara doesn't know about, because I wanted to do it. Yeah, I want to surprise you with something. Hey, I'm with Bakara Palmer of the Australian National Beach Volleyball Team, and she's agreed to join me 18 hours ahead. She's on Monday, I'm on Sunday, but you know what? It's all good time because we're all locked down right now. So we got plenty of time on our hands. I wanted to try a fairly new segment. She's only the number two person to do this right now. Actually, there's three girls from LSU, but so you'd be the fourth. It's called the Rundown. I'm going to throw down a quick question. She has to answer quickly and be ready to answer the next question just as fast. So.
Right.
Are you ready?
Yeah, my heart rate's up a little. I'm a bit nervous.
Right, question. What's your go-to song when you get fired up before a match?
Anything by Beyonce.
Okay. What's your favorite movie?
Limitless.
My arch nemesis in beach volleyball is fill in the blank.
The first person that comes to mind is Kerry, but only because we have such big battles. And I'm sorry if you're listening to this, Kerry.
Okay. A most embarrassing nickname that you've had? You can pass if you want.
Yeah, I used to get called Sticks when I played basketball as a high school kid. I got called Sticks because I was literally just like skin and bone. I didn't like that one.
That works. Most influential role model?
I would say Liz Gilbert, the author.
Okay. And then the favorite book.
It seems bad that I'm not going to say one of her books now, because I've just started listening to or reading Untamed by Glennon Doyle, which is a new one out, and it is blowing my mind.
All right. Favorite kind of food?
Anything salty. All
right. And not Vegemite?
I love Vegemite. It'd be so un-Australian if I said I didn't.
And then if you had $1 million, I would fill in the blank.
Pay off some debts. Okay. And then create something where I could be really creative and give back.
All right. And finally, and I don't know if this will make sense to you from a societal or cultural standpoint, but it does make a lot of sense here. If you had an extra roll of toilet paper, I would give it to fill in the blank. Because, you know, we can't get toilet paper here right now. It's bad.
It's so true. Who would I give it to?
Something you care about a lot, apparently.
Look, we actually ran out yesterday, so I'd probably keep it.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry, but I'd probably keep it.
All right. Well, hey, that's the final question, Bakara. Thank you for being such a sport and joining me on the Volley Podcast and talking about your experience here so far this year and what's coming in the near future for you for Beach Volley Online and the Olympics. Hopefully, you know, keep battling. Hopefully get to catch you stateside soon. It's always wonderful chatting with you and seeing you play. So thank you again.
I would love that, hopefully. Thank you so much for having me.
All righty.